You know, if we think about it, that holiday may not have actually become a holiday if it hadn't been for the work and influence of one very patient but persistent person, Sarah Hale. Sarah Hale. Let's back up a little bit and kind of give the short history of Thanksgiving. It's well known that the very first Thanksgiving Day was celebrated by those settlers in 1621 as they gave thanks for that making it through that first winter here in the New World. Then later on in 1789, George Washington issued a Thanksgiving Day proclamation to commemorate those first pilgrims and their celebration. But Thomas Jefferson, our third president, actually discontinued that practice. He believed it was too much of a kingly practice, and so it was discontinued. After that, Thanksgiving Day and a celebration of Thanksgiving Day was observed by different states, individual states, and they had different dates for that, so there wasn't any real consistency across our nation. Then in 1828, Sarah Hale began to work on establishing a national day of Thanksgiving, or Thanksgiving Day. Sarah Hale was the editor of a very popular woman's magazine at the time. She was also the writer of the poem, Mary Had a Little Lamb. She began a campaign to restore Thanksgiving as a national holiday. She wrote letters. She sought appointments with national leaders, from the president right on down. Time and time again, she was politely rebuffed, told that it wouldn't be practical, that it wouldn't be an important idea. But she persisted in this idea. And so finally, in 1863, Abraham Lincoln took her plea seriously. And he thought it was a good way for North and South to lay aside their enmity and strife on a Thanksgiving Day. So Abraham Lincoln proclaimed the fourth Thursday of the month of November as a national Thanksgiving Day. There's part of the proclamation right there. The gracious gifts of the Most High God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged, as with one heart and voice by the whole American people. So this is when Thanksgiving Day became a national holiday. And then finally, later on in 1941, it was officially ratified by the U.S. Congress. Why do we need to be reminded to set aside one day to be thankful? Shouldn't we be thankful each and every day? Well, we should be. In an ideal world, we would be. But, you know, sometimes our human nature kind of gets the best of us. Think about that, our human nature. Don't we have a greater inclination to just complain about things and grumble about things? In fact, maybe we should start a kind of a reverse movement. Have one day in the year, we'll call it Grumbling Day, and then the rest of the days, all 364 days, can be given over to Thanksgiving. That's what we should do. Few things change a person's life than a change in attitude, turning away from our grumbling and turning toward an attitude of gratitude. I know that phrase is so often used, an attitude of gratitude, but think on that. Our attitude shapes so much of the outcomes. Our attitude affects our altitude. It affects how far we go in life, and it affects how much we enjoy the journey. And this idea of an attitude of gratitude is actually a very biblical principle as well. There are 138 verses in the Bible alone that just deal with the notion of thanksgiving. You want to add to that verses about rejoicing, about happiness, about joy. The Bible is full of encouragement to us to have a particular perspective, an attitude of gratitude. We'll be looking at the letter of Paul to the Colossians in a few minutes. And we'll discover that the letter of Colossians is full of admonitions to us to be thankful. To be thankful for so many things. So why is it important? Why is it important for us to have this change in attitude? To put aside our grumbling and complaining about everything and look for the good? Well, there's three reasons. There's three reasons. A heart of gratitude doesn't have room for anything else. Someone wisely said, the most destructive acid in the world is found in a sour disposition. Someone else said this, sour grapes make the best wine. And I'm sure you've seen the spelling on the word wine there. The grapes we use will tell us a whole great deal. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, the Bible gives us a list of some of the sour grapes that we bring into our making of life. That list in Ephesians includes bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander and malice. And the book of Ephesians tells us to get rid of all those things. Get rid of all those things. How do you get rid of those things? Well, one way is to develop a true attitude of gratitude. A person cannot be both grateful and hateful at the same time. A person whose heart is filled with thanksgiving, genuine thanksgiving, has no room for negativity such as anger and bitterness and grumbling. So a heart of gratitude doesn't have room for anything else. A second reason and why we need to develop this new perspective, this new attitude, is it is impossible to be thankful and anxious at the same time. You know, our world is full of so many things that give us anxiety, things that we struggle with, everyday concerns of life, relationships, finances, our children, our grandchildren. These things are challenges. But are we going to look at those challenges with an attitude of being thankful for what we have, or just looking at the negative and developing a sense of grumbling? Martin Luther claimed that the best preacher he ever knew was just a little robin. Each evening, Martin Luther would place crumbs on his windowsill, and the robin would come down and hop onto the sill and take up as much as it needed. And from there, that little bird would fly up into the tree, sit upon a branch, and lift up its voice to God, singing songs of gratitude, praising God for the bounty, and then tucking its little head under its wing and going to sleep. The robin didn't seem to be worried about tomorrow until the next day. Oh, that we would be like that robin. Thankful, grateful, worry-free, trusting in God for all his provisions. Jesus talked about the sparrow and how God looks over the sparrow and how we are so much more valuable to God than a sparrow. There's a third thing that shapes our attitude and a third reason why we need to have this attitude of gratitude. Your outlook. Number three, your outlook determines your outcome. Over the California desert, two birds are often seen. You have the vulture and you have the hummingbird. See, the vulture looks for dead and rotting and decaying flesh. The vulture thrives on the misery of other animals. The hummingbird looks for those tiny blossoms of the cactus flower. The hummingbird thrives on what is living and growing. And each bird finds what it's looking for. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Or a better question is this: what are you finding? What are you finding? What you are finding tells us a lot about what you were looking for. As we develop an attitude of gratitude, we will discover even more of which we can be truly thankful. Again, in the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul, in these four short chapters, devotes so much time and attention to this theme of being thankful, rejoicing and praising God for the things. There's an aroma of thanksgiving around this short little book in the New Testament. And so this morning what I want to do is to look at several of these different passages from the book of Colossians. And as we mentioned a moment ago, they will give us different themes. And so I want to pause in our message this morning and give opportunity for all of us to think about and share things that we are truly thankful for. One of the things we'll be looking at in a bit is expressing and sharing and telling forth the things that we are indeed thankful for. So let's start Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Paul writes these words: "In our prayers for you, we always thank God, for we have heard of your faith and of the love that you have because of the hope laid up for you in heaven." What we see in this particular passage, the focus is the notion of thanking God for other people. Paul was very thankful for the believers there in that church, thanking God for others. Specifically, when you see the fruits of the gospel in their life and you see them involved and engaged in carrying out God's plan. So we want to pause here for a moment and offer up prayers of thanks to other people. But before we do that, let me share one more thought with you when it comes to our prayers, and then we'll have a time of sharing and praising God for the things He has done. This is a theme we actually looked at some time ago when we had our Wednesday evening study on prayer, and I think I've mentioned this another time or two, and it's just a wonderful theme or guide for our prayers. And this is the idea of the acts of prayer, or acts as a prayer guide. And again, Mike, I think, alluded to this a moment ago when he was talking about his prayer wheel and how we can pray about, and we should pray about, different themes and different ideas. We want to start our prayers with the idea of adoration, praising God. These are I love you prayers. I love you prayers, where we're offering up praise and adoration to our God. Not just asking Him for things, because often our prayers are filled with, God, I need this, and God, please bless me with that. But here we're being encouraged to begin our time of prayer with just adoring God. Number two is our confession. All of us fall short. All of us do not deserve what God would give to us. And so our prayers should always include this notion of confession. These are sorry prayers. Adoration is I love you prayers. Confession is sorry prayers, where we are indeed laying our lives bare before God in a spirit of confessing our weaknesses. Our third one is thanksgiving, and that's our focus this morning, is we just want to be thankful to God. These are thank you prayers to God, thanking God for the so many things. And then the last part of this is the notion of supplications. This is please prayers. Please, God, help me with this. Please, God, provide that. We often pray those kinds of prayers, and they're important prayers. But notice on the list that these come last. So just one way to think about our prayer life is prayers of adoration, prayers of confession, prayers of thanksgiving, and prayers of supplication. Paul's first theme of prayer, or focus of prayer, was thankfulness for other people that God has put into our lives. So let's take a moment and have opportunity to share. This is our Thanksgiving Day celebration, and so we want to bring forth our thanksgiving to God in prayer. So let me get the microphone for those who would like to share. Now again, we'll have other opportunities with other themes as the morning progresses, but as we take a moment to pause here, is there someone who'd like to share for? Things that we want to be thankful for. First, we saw that Paul wanted us to be thankful for other people. Let's go on to Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. It says, joyfully give thanks to the Lord, who has enabled you. He has rescued us. He has transformed us to a kingdom of his beloved Son. Redemption, forgiveness. And so as we think in this particular passage, we want to kind of broaden our focus of thanksgiving to include the things that God has done for us. Yes, we thank God for the people he has brought into our life, but we also want to be thankful and mindful of the many things that God has done for us, how he has blessed us and worked in our lives. Many people enjoy reading the Psalms because the psalm writer often talks about specific things that God has done for them, praising God, thanking God for the many blessings. How has God blessed you? How has God shown his power in your midst? How has God come into your life and worked a miracle, worked a blessing, worked an opportunity to give thanks to him? So in addition to praying for people, we want to continue to lift up words of thanksgiving to a God who has done so much in and for us.
I know of God.
Chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. We're reminded about the importance of praying or thanking God for our salvation. Paul writes, verses 6 and 7, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, abounding in thanksgiving. Salvation. Salvation should issue forth in thanksgiving. And think about this. We've talked about this theme before. Our salvation is not a work of our own doing. Our salvation is a work of God. God reached out and took hold of our lives and drew us to him. He saved us. Our personal experience with Jesus, as we recently talked about with Saul of Tarsus, Jesus came to him. Jesus reached out to him. And so I think we should include in our words of thanksgiving the thanking God for saving us. Thanking God for saving us. And think in terms of how would our lives be different if God had not gotten hold of us, if God had not reached out and drawn us to himself, if God had not continued to bless us in so many different ways. I mentioned the Psalms before. If you read through the Psalms and you read through the theme of thanksgiving, so often the thanksgiving prayers in Psalms are thanking God for being our refuge. Thank you, God, for being our rock, our salvation. And so when we think about what we were thankful for, I would hope that one of the things that would be at the top of that list is thanking God for changing my life. Thank you, God, for bringing my salvation. As I think back about my own walk with God, I think if left to my own devices, I would probably wander away from God. But God keeps drawing me to himself. God drew me into a relationship with him. God continues to show his hand of love and care and salvation to me. And so I would just thank God for being in control, for taking my life and changing it and molding it to be a greater reflection of Jesus. So we want to continue to pray for other people, continue to pray for God's blessings in our life, the ways in which we see God reaching out and pouring forth his blessings upon us, but then also include in that thanking God for that wonderful gift of salvation. That's what Paul's talking about here, that we received Jesus Christ and we continue to live our lives in him, rooted and built up in him. That's a work of God. We should be thankful for that, abounding in thanksgiving. I know many of you have shared, but I want to make sure that all those who would like to share have another opportunity to share forth a word of thanksgiving. In Colossians 3:15, Paul writes, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful." This one body is a church. I know I am so thankful for this church body. Many of us have been here through many years. We've had different setbacks, different life experiences that have really shaken us. And I know in my own life, being here, this has been a place of safety and a place of blessings. And I dearly love my church family. And I know many of you have that same mindset, that you recognize that this is a place where we come together as one, we come together in Christ, and we come together to love and support and pray and encourage each other. So praying for our church family. It says here that we are to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. And that word rule literally means to act like an umpire. And I love that metaphor. If you think about that metaphor, the truth is an umpire is the one that we all look to as the authority, the one who will give us direction, the one who will help solve issues, disputes, conflicts. Life is challenging. Sometimes we have different perspectives on things, but if we let Christ rule, let Christ serve as the umpire in our life, I think that in itself is a real blessing, as we allow him to be the authority, him to help smooth over and work through the issues and the conflicts in our lives. So let's continue as a church to let Christ be the head of the church. Let Christ be the umpire of the church and in our own lives as well. We need to thank God for our church family. Thank God for being willing to come and to bless us in that way. In the next verse, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. The word of Christ is to dwell within our midst. The word of Christ is his presence with us. In fact, the word dwell there is the word for house. We are to have Christ make his home in our hearts, make his home in our midst, and bring about that peace that comes from him. The word of Christ also speaks to God's word to us, his revelation, the scriptures. And I know many in this church love to study their Bible, love to read God's word, and they see in God's word God's message to us. And we need to thank God. Thank you, God, for revealing yourself to us. Here's an interesting parallel. I think we've talked about this before. The book of Colossians and the book of Ephesians are very similar in theme. And there's a lot of parallel passages between Ephesians and Colossians. Let's compare one of those this morning. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, we see that passage right here. The parallel passage from the book of Ephesians is chapter 5, verses 18 and following. And the parallel, we don't want to miss this. The structure is almost identical. But notice here, it says in the Ephesians passage, we're exhorted to be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Although here in Colossians, the passage exhorts us to be to let the word of Christ dwell in us. So I think in Paul's mind, and I think we can also say as we compare these two passages, that they are, in some sense, the synonymous. As we allow God's word to guide us, and as we dwell in God's word and study our Bibles with the aim of learning what God would have for us, that is paralleled with being filled with the Holy Spirit. We're also see in this same verse, verse 16, this idea of having gratitude in our hearts. Gratitude in our hearts. Some translations actually use the word thanksgiving in our hearts. Other translations even use the word grace. I think the King James uses the word grace. The actual word used here in the original does speak of God's grace, his gifts to us. Another possible translation is joy. We are to have joy in our hearts, grace in our hearts, thanksgiving in our hearts. In 2 Corinthians 4:15, Paul says, "For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God." So grace and thanksgiving, they go together. Also the same root word for the gifts that God gives to us. So we want to continue to thank God for the people in our lives, for God's hand in our midst, for God's salvation, for God's Spirit, for God's indwelling word, for God's peace. Verse 17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." We want to continue to thank God for his presence. And the final passage we'll close with today is Colossians 4, verses 2 through 4. Paul says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us as well, that God may open to us a door for the word, that we may declare the mystery of Christ, for which I am in prison, so that I may reveal it more clearly as I should." In a couple of weeks, we're going to be having our Lottie Moon Christmas offering and our week of prayer. And that's kind of what Paul is praying for here. Pray, continue to pray, and thank God for the word that goes out and the bounty that goes out, that Paul can continue to be a witness for Christ. So we'll be returning to this theme of sharing forth, thanking God for the missionaries that go to bring the gospel, and praying for them and supporting them. The words thank and the words think come from the same root. Same root. Which reminds us that we need to be thinking about what we were thankful for. And when we take time to reflect on the many ways in which God blesses us through others, through his gifts, through his salvation, we will always have something to be thankful for. The key is that we need to think on the things that God has given to us. Think on the ways in which he has blessed us. So throughout this week and throughout the coming weeks, let's continue to think about God's many blessings and be thankful for what he's done for us. I know it's so easy to remember the negative things, to remember what we are upset about, but if we take our time and our focus to think about what God has done for us and be thankful for all these things, we will indeed be a people that are thankful. That's what God has wants from us, to be a people who are thankful. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you so much for the many ways in which you've blessed us, the many ways in which you have enriched our lives as we come into this Thanksgiving season. We will be thankful. We will remember and think about the ways in which you have blessed us richly. Help us to not just do that this week, but rather to live our lives each and every day, each and every month, each and every year with this perspective of thanking you for all the blessings and the richness and the gifts that you have given to us. Let us be a people who counts their blessings and thanks you day by day. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.